Hello, beloved. Good to be with you as we look at the book of Revelation. And this is already session 22. And we are looking at the church in Philadelphia. We're continuing with the church in Philadelphia. Now, so far, we've actually looked at the letter of Jesus to the church in Philadelphia, and we've seen the following. We've seen the different attributes of Christ. We saw his holiness and that he is true, that he has the key of David, that he opens and shuts doors and no one can undo what he has done, and that he knows everything about his churches, and Jesus opens doors for his church, and that he is able to change persecutors and get them to come and worship with the church. Absolutely amazing. And then we've also see what Jesus expects is for the church to do what he says and not to deny his name before people. Now, before we get to verse 10, which we're going to look at, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you in Jesus' name, and thank you for your love and kindness. Thank you for the book of Revelation that we can study. Pray, Father, that you will open up our hearts and our minds to receive and understand your word. And I pray that you will enable me as your servant to teach your people, Father, so that you may be glorified in and through our study. And we know that the book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And we pray that we will learn more about Christ as we study this book. May it be true, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Okay, and this is where Jesus gives the church in Philadelphia an amazing promise. He says, "Because you have kept my commandment to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." See the promise there? Absolutely amazing. I mean, it's such a beautiful promise that Jesus makes to the believers in Philadelphia. And that's those who persevered under persecution. Eh? Jesus says to them that he will protect them from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. Now, beloved, Jesus was referring to an event that was still to come. It was still in the future. Now, this time Jesus refers, or this, you know, the specific time that Jesus refers to, it will be a time of trial for the whole earth. The whole world is going to be tested. It is a serious time that Jesus is speaking about. And it's a testing of the whole earth. No? It's a trial that is coming upon the whole world. This is huge. Now, there are differences of opinion, specifically among commentators, when it comes to this verse. How do we interpret a verse like this? And it kind of depends on what your understanding is about eschatology, how this verse is interpreted. What I want to do, though, is just stick to the text and just see what the text tells us. All right? Because if we stick to the text and we understand what the text says, I don't think we can actually go wrong. Then it's not just an interpretation, it's actually looking at the text itself and saying what the text says. All right, now let's look at the things that are clear from the verse and see if we can make some sense of it. Now, we see Jesus referring to a time that is in the future. Okay, we see that. And that time is a time when the whole world will experience an hour of trial. It will be a time where the people of the earth will be tested. Everyone who lives on the earth will be tested. It will be a time of trial on all of them. Now, it seems from the context that this time of trial is a result of the world basically persecuting believers and testing their faith. So because the believers are being persecuted and their faith are being tested, Christ is going to bring a trial over them. Okay, they are going to be tested. Okay, they are going to experience a trial. Now, because the believers in Philadelphia have already seriously been tested, Jesus comes and he promises them that he will keep them from the trial that is coming on the whole world to test the people who dwell on the earth. You see, beloved, this worldwide test, and it's still in the future, it will be very much the same as the test of the faith of God's people when they are being persecuted. Now, when, if we read through the Bible, does the Bible tell us about a time like that where the people of the earth will be seriously tested? Where there will be a trial that comes upon the whole earth? Now, the only serious trial I think that we read about in the scriptures, you know, that will affect the whole world, I believe, is the time called by Jesus himself the tribulation period. All right, we read about it in the when Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, in the Olivet Discourse. We read about this tribulation period. Also in Revelation chapter 6 to 19, we read, and it describes us, or describes all the things that is going to happen upon this earth during that time. And this includes the seals and the trumpets and the bold judgments of God. You see, the tribulation period is basically identified as a specific time period. And this is what Jesus is speaking about here. There will be a time of testing on the earth. And the tribulation period is a specific time period in history. And that the idea that it's a specific time period, we read about in Revelation chapter 11, verse 2 and 3, chapter 12, verse 6 and 14, and chapter 13, verse 5. Now, this time period called the tribulation is a period when the whole world, the whole earth, will experience the persecution of God, in a sense. Now, we know it's the judgment of God. It is God's judgment that is poured out. It is God's part of God's wrath that is already being poured out on the earth, even though the day of the Lord is a much shorter period of time, much more intense. It is a time that is never going to be repeated again in history. Right. But the thing is that this time period called the tribulation is a period of time when the whole world will experience the persecution of God. As God's people experience persecution, now the world is going to experience persecution. But God is the persecutor this time. You see, God is going to bring trial upon trial upon trial upon the people of the earth to ensure that every single one will be tested. Every one on this earth. Now, obviously, the church that gets persecuted all the time, they will be kept by Christ, and this is his promise. Né? He will keep them from the worldwide trial that will affect the whole world and every single person in this world. It will not affect God's people because they've already been persecuted. They've already experienced tough and horrible times. Now the words, "I will keep you from," those words in the Greek basically means "I will keep you from" or "I will keep you out of something." This is an amazing promise from Christ, isn't it, to his church? This is a lovely, lovely promise. Now, if you are let's call them the people that believe in the pre-trib rapture, which means there's a rapture of the church just before the tribulation period, just before the 7 years of the tribulation. Now, if you believe that this is a phrase that refers to the rapture of the church prior to the 7 year tribulation period, it is believed that Jesus Christ will take his church out of this world by rapturing them, taking them away. And this way they will basically not experience the hour of trial that will test those who dwell on the earth. It's a way of Christ actually coming, taking his children out of the way, taking them up into heaven, and they will not have to experience what is happening on the earth. My problem with this is that the pre-tribulation rapture cannot be made, or let's say the argument for the pre-tribulation rapture cannot be made from this verse, especially the phrase where it says, "I will keep you from," now, or that it will mean that I will keep you out of. You see, I think it's a little too far stretched. It's kind of reading into the text to say that I'm going to keep you out of, which means I'm going to take you out of. Now, I know that there are commentators that goes into much detail in the Greek and whatever. Beloved, I really do believe that the meaning of the text can just simply be that Jesus will protect the church, his church, during that specific time, and not put the church through the trial that the whole world is going to experience. That's the simplest way that I believe we can read the text. Christ will protect us. I'm not one of those people that wants to put the pre-tribulation rapture in there or any other thing. All I'm saying is that Christ is the one who promised, and he will do what he says. Now remember, the one making the promise is the one who basically opens up a door for the Philippian church. Philadelphia church, no? He's the one who opens up the door for them. And because he opens up the door, no one can shut it. And that also means that he's the one who closes the door and no one can open it. So in that time when the trial comes upon the whole world and everybody on this earth is going through this trial, Jesus can open up a door somewhere, somehow, for his church. And his church enters into that door and Jesus shuts it and no one can open it up until Jesus decides to open it up again. Whatever it is, it could be the rapture, but it could be protection somewhere. It could be that believers just cannot be touched for a period of time while God's wrath is being poured out on this earth, or while God's judgment is being poured out. Whatever it is, the promise is the same, that Jesus will basically protect his people from the trial that is coming upon this world. And he is, how can I say, he is able to do it because he's the one who opens up doors and shuts doors. And when he opens it up, no one can close it. If he shuts a door, nobody can open it. It's within that context. Christ can be trusted completely that he will protect his people when he says he will protect them. So whether Jesus keeps believers by rapturing them, you know, before the tribulation period or in the middle, because there's people that believe it's in the middle. Some say it's at the end. There's so many differences in opinions with regards to the rapture. There are people that says it's just before the wrath of God is poured out. Right at the end, just before Jesus physically returns to this earth completely. So there are different views on this. So whether it is by rapturing the church, now, before the tribulation or in the tribulation or before God's wrath is poured out, the day of the Lord comes upon the earth. It doesn't really matter. Okay? And it's also possible that he protects them on this earth. Now, while the church is on this earth, he protects them from this great trial that's coming upon the earth. The thing is, that Jesus promised that he will protect his people from this trial that is coming. And if he says he will do it, then we can trust him that he will do it because he is in charge. Okay. Now verse 11. And this is where Jesus tells the church in Philadelphia, he says, "Behold, I am coming quickly." Wow. amazing words. Behold, I am coming quickly. He just said to them that he will protect them, that he will keep them from the hour of trial that is coming upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. That's the first thing he says. And then in verse 11 he says, behold, I am coming quickly. Now, quickly to me means quickly. Right? You see, this is an interesting sentence. Once again, you can have different... There's so many different interpretations of this verse. Because Jesus says that he is coming quickly. Well, if we talk about coming quickly, historically speaking, then that's not true. Jesus wasn't speaking the truth. Because these words were written in AD 95. Okay, that means that it was written 1,927 years ago. And Jesus said he's coming quickly and he's not back yet. 1,927 years is a long time. Okay, so this phrase, this idea that Jesus is coming quickly, either we don't see it the way that Christ sees it, or Jesus is a liar. Now, beloved, I believe that Christ is God and he cannot lie. There's no lie to be found in him. So I think what we need to do is to go and look at the passage, go and look at the verse specifically and see if there's an understanding or a meaning of this text that we might miss if we look at it historically. Okay. The question that I have in my mind is, why would Jesus say something to the church that isn't true? I mean, every single prophecy about Jesus' first coming was fulfilled to the T, to the date. And I mean, many of Jesus' own prophecies have already been fulfilled. Now, why would Jesus come and say that he is coming quickly when that is not true? Well, let's look at this verse a little bit of a different way. Let me say it that way. Let's look at it from a different angle. You see, Jesus just told the believers in the church in Philadelphia that he will protect them from the trial that is coming to test everyone on this earth. Nah? He will protect them. Now, as part of his promise to protect believers, Jesus says that he is coming quickly. Okay, you can see because it's the same letter. No? He says, I'm going to protect you. Behold, I'm coming quickly. So his coming is something that believers can look forward to as they experience the persecution and the tribulation. This idea of Jesus coming quickly is basically to help the believers to look up and to have an expectation of the soon return of Jesus Christ, for the believers to be able to persevere under persecution because they have an expectation of the soon return of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is going to come quickly. Obviously, if they look at it historically and they look back at it, then they will say, yeah, Jesus has taken a long time to return. But for the people then, the Philadelphians, when they look at it and they're being persecuted and Jesus' words that says to them as a church, listen, I'm coming quickly, it would help them to persevere under the persecution. Because what they need to do is to hold on, you know, to hold fast to their faith and to their hope in Christ. They should know that they will receive the reward that Jesus Christ promised them. Now, the way it's possible for them to hold fast and to persevere under the tribulation that they were experiencing, the persecution they were experiencing, is to know that Jesus is coming quickly. Remember, this letter was written within a context. So when Jesus was speaking to them, he was encouraging them because they were being persecuted. They were going through this tough time. So he says to them, listen, I'm coming quickly, so that they could have something to hold on to and look forward to. You and I can decide to look at it historically and say, you see, 1,927 years, I don't believe Jesus. Or we can look at it from the perspective of the Philadelphian church and say, for them, the coming of Jesus Christ, the fact that he said he was going to come quickly, actually was fulfilled. He actually came quickly for them. Why do I say that? You see, beloved, when a believer dies, isn't it true that we are with Christ immediately? So if somebody dies as a martyr for Christ, if somebody dies under persecution, and let's say they're not even old. It's a young person who dies for the sake of Christ. In a sense, we can say that Jesus came quickly for that specific person. You remember Jesus said to the man who was crucified next to him, he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Beloved, when a believer dies, whether it's as a martyr or because of persecution or just dies of natural causes, doesn't matter. If a believer dies, that believer will be with Christ. For that believer, Christ came. That's one perspective on the second coming of Christ. Jesus came for every single believer who passed away. Has he physically returned a second time? No, he hasn't. But for every person who died in Christ and who went to be, to the bosom of Abraham, according to the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Nah? Those who are in the bosom of Abraham, they are in the presence of Christ. For them, Christ has come. And quickly is in their lifetime, depends on how long they lived and how quickly they died. That's it. So in that sense, we can say that the words of Jesus, the fact that he says, "I will come quickly," is true for every believer who dies. Okay. Now, when it comes to the literal second coming of Christ, we need to look at the generation that will be alive then. So the generation that is born when Jesus Christ, during the period of time when Jesus Christ is going to come on the clouds, he will also be coming quickly, isn't it? Obviously, because he came in their generation. So for them, he came quickly. Isn't it true? So that phrase is still applicable. That phrase is still true. Okay? For the last generation. So for the Philadelphian believers, it was true. What was true? That Jesus came quickly for them. Did he physically return on the clouds? No, he didn't. But did he physically come and to take them to be with him? Yes. Okay? Whether he uses angels or whatever way, that's got nothing to do with it. For them, they could be in the presence of Jesus Christ within maybe a few months, maybe a few years, but it's quickly because they died. For the generation that will be alive when Jesus Christ returns, to them as well, when Jesus says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly," to them, he will be coming quickly because in their generation, he will come on the clouds and they will see him physically. So for them, it will also be quickly. Now, we need to remember that Scripture teaches us that one day is as 1,000 years to the Lord, no? And 1,000 years as one day. So when Jesus says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly," and I want you to look at it now from a historical perspective, but not from our perspective, but from God's wisdom perspective. If one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day, in the sight of God, because God stands out of time and space. Nah? So if God says, "I'm coming quickly," then he is speaking as the one who stands outside of time and space, the one for whom one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. You know, for us, 1,000 years are a long time. It's a long, 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 long time. But for God, it's like one day. So if Jesus allows 1,927 years to pass by, that would be just under 2,000 years. When we now put it into the perspective that 1 year with God, 1 day with God is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as 1 day, then it means it's just short of 2 days ago that Jesus said this, and there's only less than 2 days that has passed. So if Jesus returns, let's say for example, when the count, it's now 1,927 years. Let's say he returns when it's 1,990 years. Okay, or he comes when it's 2,000 years after he said that he was going to return. If that is true, then it means that Jesus still came quickly. His words are true because he came within 2 days. I hope that makes sense. You see, God's wisdom is not our wisdom. When we look at quickly, we look at it from our perspective. You know, if somebody says, no, I'll quickly go and do this and this for you, then we expect it to happen fast. That's not what happens in God's wisdom and God's domain, because God is outside of time and space. So for God, the time that has passed from the time that it was prophesied, this letter was written to the Philadelphian believers, up to now, it's a very short period of time, not even 2 days. When we look at 1,000 years being as a day and a day as 1,000 years in the sight of God. Beloved, I hope that makes sense, because at the end of the day, it is important for us to understand that when we read Scripture, God doesn't lie. Jesus doesn't lie. And when he says, I'm coming quickly, then it is true. It's a fact. We might not understand it the way that that Christ said it, but it's true. It's the reality of what he is saying, and we can trust him for that. What is our responsibility? Our responsibility is during the time that we are alive, we need to make sure that we are ready for his coming, because even for us, he is coming quickly. Let's say, for example, I live, for argument's sake, I live 70 years, which is a good lifetime, or 80 years. In comparison to eternity, 70, 80, 60, 50, 40 years is nothing. It's a drop in the ocean. It's a small time period that we are talking about. So if Jesus says he's coming quickly, we need to be ready in the time frame that God has given us to be on this earth. Because when he comes to take us home to be with him, not physically now when he comes on the clouds, but I'm talking through death, when we are taken into the bosom of Abraham, we need to be ready. We need to be ready for the return of Christ. And I think this is the message that we should grab onto and hold as fast onto as we can. Be ready, because Jesus' words are still true even today. And it's true from an eternal perspective, not necessarily from a physical perspective. We need God's wisdom to be able to interpret these things. So, beloved, what does it all mean for us here in Newcastle Baptist Church in the year 2022. What does it mean? Well, first, I believe that we can fully and completely trust Christ. Even though we might not understand every single thing that he said and the way he said it or what he meant, we can still trust him. Because he has a proven track record that he is faithful and just, and that what he says is true. What he says is the truth. What he says will happen. Right, that's the first thing I believe that we can take from this passage, is that we can trust Christ completely. All right. The second thing is, I believe that we can hold on to that promise that Christ gave us. Well, gave the Philadelphian believers, that he will protect them. We can trust him that he will protect his own from the trials that is coming upon this earth. We can trust him, whether it's through the rapture or whether it's through protection, opening up a door somewhere, and whatever way, that is up to Christ. But he will protect us. We can trust him for that. Beloved, and as we wait on Jesus Christ, and we experience persecution and tribulation and distress and suffering and all these kind of things, we can be assured that Jesus Christ is coming quickly. And in a sense, we can say he is coming at the right time. That's not for us to decide. That is for him to decide. That's in the hands of the Almighty God. It's not in our hands. What we can do is, and this is what we can learn from it, is we should be ready for the return of Christ. All right. That is our message for this evening. I hope that it's been a blessing to you. Let's close our eyes in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can know that we can trust you in all things. Even though we don't understand everything that you say, but we can still trust you. Thank you for that. Thank you that you will protect us from the trial that is coming upon the whole world. And thank you that as we wait on the return of Jesus Christ, that and even though we experience persecution and tribulation and pain and suffering and all these things, that we can be assured that Jesus is coming quickly. And even if it is through our persecution that we die and to be with the Lord, he came for us. He came quickly. And if he comes on the clouds and we the generation that will see him come, it will be quickly. In whatever way, thank you that we can trust him, that at the right time, he will come for us because we belong to him. Oh, Father, thank you so much. This we pray not because we deserve anything. We pray it in the glorious, wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved, thank you very much for listening to this evening's service. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And may his face shine upon you and may he give you his peace. As we go out this week and know that we can trust Christ, even though we might not understand everything that he said, that we know that he will protect us when the big trial comes upon the earth, and that when we, as we wait on him and we experience persecution and all these bad things, that we can know Jesus is coming quickly at the right time. Oh, Father, thank you. May we all, as we go out this week, be reminded of this on a continuous basis. So until God willing next time, thank you for listening. Bye-bye.